He was concerned that we understand what Scripture is. And so listen as the Apostle Paul shares this with the Galatians and with us, beginning at verse 7, chapter 3 of Galatians. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of daughters of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now, an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if the law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the Scriptures imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your words to us this day, that they are true, that they are from you yourself. Holy Spirit, help us to understand these words and to put them into practice. And we ask this for Christ's sake. Amen. There was a time, really not too long ago, when all communication was verbal or written. And it really wasn't that long ago when you take in the length of world history. But then along came a guy named Marconi, who developed or began electronic communication. And as they say, and we were off. Today it's emails or texts or Instagram or Facebook, which is old hat now. But it's all, almost all electronic. And it's out there forever, isn't it? Unless you have bleach bit and you use it rather well. There used to be things that we called letters that were handwritten. And sometimes things that you may never have even seen, some of you maybe, things called postcards. single piece of hard stock, usually with a picture or a saying on the front, and a place for the addressee, and a small area for writing a little note. Recently, I came by, going through some of my files, a postcard that I had sent to my family 40 years ago, as I boarded an Olympian airliner in New York, headed for Athens and then to Tel Aviv in Israel, for a trip to Israel. It was my greatest adventure. And on that postcard, on the front, was a beautiful picture of an Olympian airliner, very much like the one I flew, at about 30,000 feet in beautiful blue sky and white clouds. On the back was Kathy and the children as the addressees. And a short note of several words describing how I was feeling and the excitement of going and all those things. And I remember for some reason we kept that postcard. Postcards are very similar to the kinds of things that we face here in this scripture from the Apostle Paul. And I want to share with you that it's similar because of how the words are used by the Apostle Paul. And what is shared in these words reveals the most intimate and momentous communication that has ever been spoken or heard. My communication on that postcard was incidental. What the Apostle Paul says here is momentous. Let's begin by looking at a couple of verses prior to the ones I read in Galatians 3. At Galatians 3:1, the Apostle Paul says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." The word there, portrayed, or it may be translated differently in the scriptures that you have before you, is a word that means to speak before, or to, and it's often used in the New Testament for a placard. Does anyone know what a placard is? It's a sign. It's basically translated as a sign or a poster for public display, either fixed on the wall or carried during a demonstration. That's fresh off the internet. So a placard could be small or it could be tremendously large. But what it does is to show something, to illustrate something. Just like that postcard illustrated the plane that I was flying on. Here, Paul says that Jesus, in his preaching, had been placarded before the eyes of the Galatians. That he had made it so vivid that they could not escape its reality. And so when he talks about this sovereign mercy of God, where God crushed his own son for the sins of us and the Galatians, he graphically presented this work so that they could see it in their mind's eye. And so it is that this is similar to the sermon that we have recorded for us in Acts 13, when Paul preached in Pisidian Antioch. And the word is used also by Paul to the Romans when he writes this in Romans 15:4. "For everything that was written in the past," written in the past is the word that is used also in Galatians 3:1. was written to teach us so that through the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The hope which he mentions is real hope based on the sovereign work of God. The portrayal did not leave out the reality of all that Jesus suffered. It made it completely vivid. So the sermon or the teaching of Paul was like a placard. But it was also backed up with words from Scripture. Because those in Pisidian Antioch and the rest of Galatia, we know most of them were Gentiles. But there were many, many Jews in that region of the Roman Empire. And we know from Acts 13 and the following chapters that it was Paul's practice to first preach in a synagogue. And there he would not only address Jews, but he would also address Gentiles who had interest in the Scriptures of the Old Testament and in Judaism. And we know from Acts that many of those Gentile believers or followers became Christian believers at the preaching of Paul. But there was an uncommon response to the placard preaching of Paul. And we find this in verses 2 through 5. Listen to what he says there in Galatians 3, 2 through 5. I would like to learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if in reality it was for nothing? Does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Now the response that we find in the history in Acts is that many came to know Christ through the preaching of Paul in the Galatia area. And there were many of those Jews who saw themselves as physical descendants of Abram. And so many of them were very proud and resisted the gospel, basically saying similar things to what Jesus had said to him by the Jews he addressed when they said, "We're the sons of Abraham. We don't come from an illicit relationship like you do." In Romans 10:16, it says, "But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, 'Who has believed our message?' Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." The writer of Hebrews also knew that not all who heard the gospel received or responded to it. Hebrews 4:2 tells us this: "For we have also had the gospel preached to us, just as they did." He was talking about the Old Testament Jews. "But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith." What Paul witnessed and his associates witnessed in Galatia during that missionary journey was the evident work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul comments on this when he says in chapter 2, verse 13, "And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, the report, you accepted it as not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." After Paul received the report of the Galatians turning from this faith through the Word of God and through the placarded ministry of Jesus, when he heard that they were turning to go back to the law, as Pastor Bill has pointed out several times during his sermons on this series, he realized that this was a turn toward death for these people, not a turn toward life. They were terribly mistaken. And unfortunately, sometimes when we read the scriptures, we don't read it with the emphasis that's often there in the background. Paul questions this change in the life of the Galatians. And it arises out of utter incredulity. He was not just amazed. He was appalled that they would turn away from the truth of the gospel and the word of God and go toward the works of men for their salvation. And so when he asks the questions in Galatians 3:2, we have a tendency to read it like this: does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? I don't think he said it like that. I think he said it, I read verse 5 there just a minute ago. This is verse 2. Like I think Paul meant it. I would like to learn just one thing from you, Galatians. Just one thing I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by observing the law or believing what you heard? One more thing I want to ask in verse 5. Galatians, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Paul was upset. The gospel was being effaced, torn down before his very eyes. He could not abide it. And he would not abide it. And he let them know just how he felt. But it was not only that. It was what the central figure is of this placarded preaching. It's found in the person behind the placard. And we find this in verse 8. Of this passage. This is where we'll concentrate for the morning. And this is the scripture in verse 8. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced beforehand the gospel to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. Here is the amazing good news that Abraham heard and that we read about in that passage in Genesis 12. Again, God came to Abraham later in his life in Genesis 22, and he says in 22:17 of Genesis, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. How do we know that Abraham understood this gospel? Because when you read that in Genesis, you think, well, wait a minute. He's just talking about blessing. What does that mean? We know that it is true that Abraham understood it because Jesus said he did. In John chapter 8, I want to read several verses. Not the whole section, but just these verses. Here's Jesus speaking to those who were confronting him about his ministry. He says, I know you're Abraham's descendants, yet you're ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. This is beginning in verse 37 of chapter 8 of John. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. In verse 43, he says, why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. Verse 47, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. In verse 51, he says, I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And in 55, he says, though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. He's talking about his father. And then came the clincher in verses 56 and 58. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. I tell you the truth. Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Oh, that got him really mad. So mad that they were going to stone him with real stones. Jesus, after his resurrection, reiterated this among his two disciples, Cleopas and the other man going to Emmaus. You may remember this passage in Luke 24. He begins in verse 25 as he's walking along with them. And to Cleopas and his companion, he said, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There were no written scriptures in Abraham's day. So what is Paul talking about when he writes what he does in chapter 3, verse 8 of Galatians? He is personifying scripture. It's a literary device. He personifies scripture by basically placing scripture in the place of God. It is God in his sovereign, predestinating grace that planned to justify Abraham through faith. And so Paul says the scriptures, seeing that this would happen, preached the gospel to Abraham. Jesus Christ, who is both the placard and the message, was the one who was speaking to Abraham there in Haran when he was called. Paul later says as much in 2 Corinthians 5:18. He says this, and all this is from God who reconciled us to Christ, who himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus was there talking with Abraham, saying, I will make you a blessing. He was talking about the gospel. The gospel, which is the blessing to all nations through Abraham, is bound up in Jesus the Messiah. Israel's greatest kings saw this too, as the Apostle Peter eloquently said on the day of Pentecost of the prophet David. He says this in Acts 2:25 and following. David said about him, meaning the Savior, the Messiah, I saw the Lord always before me, because he was at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. So Peter says of the prophet David, he saw Jesus in his mind's eye. God evidently sent the Holy Spirit among the Galatians But they were willing to trade death for life, to turn away from the Word of God to the works of men. He uses Scripture here also, as the writer of Hebrews did, when the writer of Hebrews says this in chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Here again, the writer of Hebrews personifies Scripture when he says Scripture judges or criticizes. Scripture cuts to the quick. Once again, Paul uses this personification to bring the power of the Scripture to the minds of the Galatians and to woo them back to the faith that they were leaving. Therefore, Paul drags back before them the placard of Jesus' crucifixion and crushing at the hands of God the Father, so that they would understand it. The Scripture is the one who preaches and judges, because it is the Lord Himself who speaks through the Scriptures. When Jesus was confronted by His adversary in the desert, Satan said, "Hey, why don't you just turn these stones into bread? You're hungry. Go ahead." Jesus' response in Matthew 4 was, "It is written." Notice it says written, Scripture. "Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The sovereign of God of the universe comes to each of us in the call of the gospel. Some of us can remember the day that we understood that gospel. For some of us, it was a very exciting and wonderful and singular day. For others, it might have been a process, as it was for me, of coming out of the fog of my sin and my rebellion. But God's Word is where we find this. I often have been asked through the years of ministry this question: how do I know what God wants me to do? And my usual quip back is, well, He doesn't send postcards. Or does He? Others have asked, how can I become more like Jesus? The answer is in the Scripture alone. That's one of the bywords of the Reformation. Scriptura sola, or sola scriptura. Scripture alone. That's where we find God speaking to us. If you desire to be like Jesus, then listen to His voice every day and allow His Holy Spirit to apply His grace to you, your family, your work, and your relationships. And you may say, well, wait a minute, how do I do that? There's a simple way to begin. Practice to listening is found in the life of the priest prophet Samuel when he was a little boy. Not much younger than these young men right here. One night, Samuel, guys, he was only about 3 years old. He was lying on his bed in the place where God was worshipped, and the prophet Eli was next door. And Samuel heard a voice, and he thought that it was the voice of Eli. And so he got out of bed and ran over and said, "Eli, here I am." And Eli said, "I didn't call you. So go back to bed." And so he went back to bed. And then he heard the voice again. And he ran back to Eli and said, "Eli, here I am." And Eli said, what are you talking about? I didn't call you. And then Eli said, "Oh, maybe the Lord is calling you." And so he said, next time, he said, when you go back to bed, he said, listen, and if He calls you again, he said to say this. Here's what he said. The Lord called him, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. That's the way to begin a prayer as you seek understanding from God's word every day. Here I am, Lord. I am your servant. Speak, for your servant is listening. That's how we put ourselves at His feet and before the Scriptures. The Lord God Almighty speaks every minute through His Word. Not a postcard, not a letter, not an Instagram, not a Facebook page. The very Word of God. Will you ask Him to speak and determine to listen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that gives us hope. It gives us strength. It gives us joy in you. And we ask that you would bless us as we seek you through it today and in all the days ahead. And we ask this for Christ's sake.